أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، وأهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، روحي وارواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت، وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. So alhamdulillah, Allah has given us the tawfiq. We've gathered here again for one more night of Muharram. And tonight is the special night where inshallah we'll be mentioning, the brothers will mention the wida of the Imam, where the Imam gives his final farewell to his family. What we're trying to do over these course of lectures, these sessions, this time that we have with one another, is that we're trying to remind ourselves of the teachings of Quran and Sunnah. We're going over the story of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam in the Quran, but we're looking for practical reminders and inspiration from the surah, so that we're able to better ourselves and ready ourselves and prepare the grounds for the return of our master. We hope that when our master is looking at our session tonight, and the sessions that are happening in England and the rest of the world, that he sees that readiness that means that Allah can grant him the permission to return. And we hope this will be our last Muharram without our master. But that means we have to take this Muharram very seriously. Okay. So where are we at now in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam? When we look at the verses of the Holy Quran, we realize that we've come to this stage of the story, that the brothers realized they had to get Yusuf away from his father. The problem was Yusuf would never allow, Ya'qub alayhi salam would never allow Yusuf to go from his presence. They came up with a very nice excuse that we would like to honor our brother, we'd like to take our brother with us, we'd like to go in the desert and we'll play with him. He'll enjoy himself. He'll have good food. Hazrat Yaqub in the beginning resisted. He said, no, I can't bear to be away from him. And there's a possibility that a wolf will come and a wolf might eat him. The brothers ignored the first statement of Hazrat Yaqub, the idea that he couldn't bear to be separated. They concentrated on the second statement. They said, a wolf while we're there? That would mean we're losers. We're not losers. We will never allow something terrible like that to happen. And although Hazrat Yaqub knew that the brothers had some malice, and we learned from previous parts in the story that he knew he would be tested in his children. There was a possibility he would be tested in Yusuf, who he loved more than everyone. And he had taken his precautions, and he was wise, and he was a prophet. Still, because Allah wanted this to happen, Allah let it happen. We have in a hadith from Imam al-Ridha alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He says, when Allah wants something to happen, he strips the servants of their uqul. For one second, it slips your mind. You're not ready. You're careful. You're in control of everything, thinking about everything, all factors there. But Allah wants something to happen. He says in the hadith, Allah strips away people's uqul, takes away their intellect, makes it happen, then he gives you your intellect back. And then you're like, what? How? Where? You may have experienced this. So he knows this. He's aware of this. He didn't see enough shari'i proof that it would say that, no, it's haram for me to allow this boy to go with them. And he allowed the boys to go. Now what happens is that the boys have Yusuf at their disposal. And the Quran describes this event. But there's omissions in the verse. I'm going to read the verse for you now. You'll discover that there's omissions in the verse. It's as if the story is so terrible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes you up to the point of the terrible act and then tells you what happened afterwards. But he doesn't tell you exactly what transpired. Remember, the suffering or the separation between Yusuf and his father was so terrible that Yaqub alayhi salam, lillah, because of the sake of Allah, cried so much his eyes went white. That separation between two of Allah's awliya. So we now understand a little bit of that separation and pain and hurt that Imam is feeling on the night of his wida, when he says goodbye to his family, when he's seen so many members of his family slaughtered. So now let's look at the verse of the Quran. This is verse number 15. فَلَمَّا ذَهَبُوا بِهِ وَأَجْمَعُوا أَنْ يَجْعَلُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبْ وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Let me read the translation first. So when they took him away, the brothers of Yusuf took Yusuf away, and all agreed, all together, agreed to put him into the recesses of a well. We revealed to him, a day will come when you will surely inform them about this affair while they are not aware of your identity. When we look in the tafsir of Al-Mizan, other tafsir, to see what happened, they say that their father, you know how attached he was to Yusuf, how much he loved Yusuf, more than all of his brothers, for the sake of Allah. We've learned from some of our grand ayatollahs, like Ayatollah Jawadi Amali, that Yusuf alayhi salam in the future was to occupy the position of imama. Some prophets, like Hazrat Ibrahim, like other prophets, actually, like our prophet, were imams also. They had the position of imama, the highest rank you can get. So the separation is going to happen. Yaqub is there, and now he's walking Yusuf off with the brothers. They say he escorted him part of the way out. Escorted Yusuf out. There, he embraced Yusuf. Shed tears. And remember, these jealous brothers are watching all of that happen. But now we have to pretend everything's okay. We just want him to spend some time with us. So they're watching us. All of those feelings of jealousy are now reaching a boiling pitch. He's hugging him, kissing him, escorting him out there. The brothers, once they got access to Yaqub, Yaqub finally said goodbye, said farewell. At that stage, they say they rushed off with Yusuf. But still, of course, they're not going to let your dad see while you're still watching. So everything's okay. They say up until they got out of eyesight, where he can't hear them anymore, where he can't control them anymore, they say all of that rage and anger came out. This is what jealousy can do if it's not controlled. That spiritual disease of hasad can make the children of anbiya do this to another child of a nabi. If we don't control ourselves, if we don't work on our anger and our evil traits, we can do the same thing. All of that anger came out in such a way, they say, they started to beat Yusuf. Furious at Yusuf. They say they threatened to decapitate Yusuf. This young boy, 9 years old, surrounded by his big brothers, that rage came out. So they went with him. And then after that, they all agreed, even the brother who spoke up and said, don't kill him, all of them, all together, they agreed on what the solution was. What was the solution? We're going to lower Yusuf down into a well. Now, down in the well, there's an area where it's dry. It's not an area, it's not a well. They lowered him in the well and he would drown in the well. The idea was, let's not kill Yusuf. We're going to lower him down there. A caravan come by. They're looking for water. They'll take Yusuf. So they lowered Yusuf down there. Yusuf is now down there in that area. And now his brothers have been relieved. At this stage, the verse says something else. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking. He says, we, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we gave wahi, we revealed something to him, we spoke to him. What Allama Tabatabai Ridwanullah ta'ala alayhi says is that this was prophetic wahi, wahi of nubuwwah, wahi of nubuwwah. Some prophets became prophets even while they were young. Our imams, some of our imams became imams also while they were young, before they were baligh. He receives this wahi. So who's talking to him? Angel Jibra'il, saying the next words. Allah speaking, Angel Jibra'il delivering the message. لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. You're going to tell them about this affair. You're going to tell them about this day when you were dropped into a well. But at that time, they won't be aware. They won't know your identity. So that's the first verse. So Yusuf and the brothers succeeded in carrying out their plan. They drop Yusuf in the bottom of the well. Alhamdulillah, now he's over. Now the next stage of the plan. The next stage of the plan is that we have to sell the story to Hazrat Yaqub. We have to make Hazrat Yaqub believe that Yusuf is no longer there. Yusuf is no longer there. And now we're here. He'll forget Yusuf. He'll forget Yusuf. And then we'll have Hazrat Yaqub to ourselves. The verse of the Quran describes what happens next. This is verse number 16. وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءً يَبْكُونَ. They came to their father at night weeping. The brothers came back to their father. Now they're crying. They want to set the stage emotionally for the words they're about to deliver. They come back crying to their father, upset, distressed. And they say these words. قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا إِنَّا ذَهَبْنَا نَسْتَبِقْ وَتَرَكْنَا يُوسُفْ عِنْدَ مَتَاعِنَا. Oh, father, we had gone racing and we left Yusuf with our things. فَأَكَلَهُ الذِّئْب. The wolf ate him. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُصَدِّقٍ لَنَا وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ. And you're not going to believe us even though we're telling the truth. So Yusuf is no longer with us. In order to make the story even more complete, they come back with a bloody shirt. And they say that, although you're not going to believe us, this is what happened. They give a logical excuse. They say that we are doing istibaq. This istibaq, either it's racing or archery. Perhaps they were competing in archery, but most likely it was racing. Because they want to give an excuse of why we were away from Yusuf. We had promised we'd take care of him, but now we want to explain why we were away from Yusuf. So what happened? We went racing. We're big guys. He's a little guy. He can't race with the big guys. We went running. We left him. You mentioned the other day, it was possible a wolf might come. A wolf might eat him. Now that wolf came and the wolf ate him. And now you're not going to believe us. Throw a little bit more emotional blackmail. You aren't going to believe us. We're telling this story. This is how it is. What are some points, reminders that we can use in our spiritual life? How we can serve the cause of the Imam, prepare the grounds for the return of the Imam by looking at these verses of the Holy Quran. In this particular instance, the first verse was the verse where the brothers were trying to get rid of Yusuf, trying to cause him to be forgotten, trying to cause him to be humiliated. What they didn't know was that they were actually serving as the means for Yusuf attaining glory. The brothers had plotted. They thought they would teach Yusuf a lesson. They would get rid of Yusuf. Nobody would remember Yusuf. But by their actions themselves, they prepared the grounds for Yusuf's glory. Yusuf is later going to become the ruler of an entire nation, a king, a monarch. And how? Because of the actions of his brothers. But what you've noticed is that in the times when things were darkest for Yusuf, the time when he didn't have any hope, the time when it looks most bleak, a young boy, 9 years old, brothers against him, put in a well taken from your father, lose all hope from the outside, put in the depths in that dark well, at that stage Allah gives him good tidings. Reminded of that verse, إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, that surely with difficulty there comes ease. It may be the case that we're struggling. It may be the case that we're going through difficult times. Sometimes we might be struggling financially, in our families, with sickness, different situations. Sometimes I might be struggling spiritually. I might have it materially, but spiritually I'm not where I'd like to be. I've made mistakes. I've gotten far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually why I'm attending these majalis is that the Imam will look at me. The Imam will see that I'm making some effort. I'm trying. I'm looking for that lifeline. I'm looking for that inspiration, for that hope. And believe me, brothers and sisters, if we take even one step towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that, to get out of our spiritual situation, to better ourselves, or if we're in a situation we're going through struggles financially in other ways, as long as we make our effort, that divine help is there. I want to talk a little bit about the importance and the power of hope. Believing that Allah can help. Believing that Allah loves. Believing that Allah cares. Even if we're in a situation like Yusuf, we're in the bottom of the well. One thing that we don't want to do is we don't want to underappreciate the power of hope, the power of love, the power of dua. Part of the reason believers sometimes are not able to experience all of Allah's goodness is because they don't believe enough in Allah. They have weakness when it comes to their love of Allah. Weakness when it comes to expecting good of Allah. We understand from the verses of the Quran that this is a sign of nifaq. If I don't believe good of God, don't believe God's on my side, God's going to make it happen for me. If I'm cynical when it comes to making dua, then actually this is a sign of a type of hidden nifaq. I want to make sure I get rid of that. Part of the reason that we're denied God's goodness is sometimes our own lack of belief. I've made so many mistakes, so many sins, I've gotten so far. How will Allah accept me? I've been dealing with this issue, this problem, my spouse, my child's wayward, for instance. I'm dealing with a certain disease. How can I get out of that? Because I don't believe in the promises of God. Sometimes I suffer more than I have to. If on the other hand, I believe how the Imam says, Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He says, when you make dua, believe that the thing you're praying for is at the door. It's easier to be cynical. No. Sometimes even a prophet make dua, take 40 years to be answered. But how are we supposed to pray? How are we supposed to expect? What do we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Believe that when you make dua, your need is right there. Go through life with that expectancy. That help of Allah, divine assistance. If not, if we don't do that, if we don't believe good of Allah, sometimes we deny ourselves Allah's goodness. Let me give you one story. In the time of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. There was a wicked man, a man named Jaludi, a wicked man. Jaludi was working for the government, the tyrant of the time, Harun al-Rashid. Jaludi had orders to go to the house of Imam al-Ridha and to take away all of the belongings, even the belongings of the women of Bani Hashim. The women who were there in the house of Imam al-Ridha, even their belongings, to the extent that all they have is one pair of clothing each. Jewelry, money, anything they have, take that. And he came as the, on behalf of the governor, to the house of the imam. This is terrible, the imam of your time. He comes outside the door, and outside the door, he's ready to carry out his operation. The imam asks him. The imam, who's that symbol of God's mercy. If we can understand the mercy of the imam, it's easier for us to understand that mercy of Allah. He comes to the imam. The imam says, I want a favor from you. This wicked man, so bad, so evil. I want a favor for him. He said, I don't want you to personally search the women. Do me a favor. Allow me. I'll personally take everything they have. Everything they have. I'll make sure that all they have is one pair of clothing. But don't commit that kind of indecency of coming in my house with your soldiers and searching my women. Very terrible. Very terrible. They say that when Imam Sajjad والسلام, was witnessing the horrors in Karbala, it came close to him passing away. Witnessing that stuff, very difficult. The Imam has ghayra. So he told him, he said, don't do that. I'll guarantee I'll take all of these things. Jaludi accepted. He was a wicked person, but he accepted. Waited outside, the Imam went and gathered all of that clothes. Gathered all those clothing, everything they had, gave it to Jaludi. They say Jaludi gave another insult to the Imam, and he went on his way. Jaludi went on his way. Later on, the Khalifa of the time, it's changed now. It's no longer Harun, it's Ma'mun. Ma'mun, for political purposes, wants to make the Imam his crown prince for political purposes. The others who are around Ma'mun don't understand why it is the Imam that Ma'mun would do that. The Imam doesn't like you. He's calling to his imamat. Why would you make him the crown prince? He's against you. Some of the individuals in Ma'mun's camp, they went against the order of Ma'mun. They said, no, that's not right. We shouldn't make bay'ah. We shouldn't accept. We don't like this individual. One of those people was Jaludi. Jaludi. Ma'mun had his own plan. He knew what he was doing. He came in. He's Khalifa. Not only am I making him the crown prince, everyone has to accept. Everyone has to make bay'ah. There were a few individuals who didn't from that inner circle. They were imprisoned. Now, Ma'mun is sitting there. Imam al-Ridha is sitting there. He's sitting there and he calls one of these individuals in to make bay'ah. That guy doesn't like Imam al-Ridha, starts saying bad things about him. Ma'mun orders that his head be cut off. He be killed. Jaludi comes in. Jaludi comes in. The Imam remembers what he did. That he did one small favor for the Imam. Now we can understand, if the Imam is like this, how is the mercy of God? He did one small favor for the Imam. He didn't come in the house. He leans to Ma'mun and he says, for my sake, forgive him. Give that guy to me. Give that guy to me. Let him go. Jaludi comes in. He sees the Imam leaning over and talking to Ma'mun. He remembers the wickedness he's done. He doesn't believe the goodness of the Ahlul Bayt. He doesn't have that good idea of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He tells Ma'mun, by the right of your father, do the opposite of whatever he just said. And he's killed. Sometimes the reason we don't get Allah's goodness, we don't believe enough. We deny ourselves because we're not that trusting. We don't have that close relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah promises He's going to help the believers, assist the believers. It doesn't matter how long I've been in this particular problem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take me out of it. It doesn't matter. Humans have closed doors. They're blocking the way. They don't want this to happen. None of that matters.
If I do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, if I do my responsibility, even if I've lived a life of sin, even if I've made mistakes in the past, even if my relationship is not where it should be, even if my health is, as long as I do my responsibility, Allah can open the way out for me. Let's make sure we believe enough. Let me recite the verse of the Holy Quran for you. It's from Surah 65, and it's verse number 2. Surah 65, verse number 2. He says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever has taqwa of Allah, Allah will open a way out for them. It's never too late. No matter how difficult the situation is, don't say, well, it's too late. I can't make dua for this. I can't correct this. I can't change this. No. Ittaqullah, have taqwa of Allah, do my responsibility, make dua and believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change my situation. Yusuf alayhi salam was in the situation, the bottom of a well, cut off from all sort of outside help. At that stage, Allah gives him that message of hope. Believe in me. It's going to be okay. I'm going to straighten your situation out. So for us, same thing. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The next point is about verse number 16. وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءً يَبْكُونَ. The boys came back to their father late at night, عِشَاءً. They came at nighttime in the evening. They came in the evening, يَبْكُونَ. They were crying, بُقَى, tears. This one's very important for those who want to be the elite soldiers of the Imam of the time. This lesson, very important for the elite soldiers of the Imam of the time. What happens is that as believers, we don't want to be fooled by the emotions of others. I mentioned a hadith before. We learned from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "Salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad." He says, "Al mu'min kayyis." The believer is clever. Believers don't want to be fooled by every display of emotion. Just because I see emotion, then I lose my ground. I'm not able to make a correct decision in a time of fitna. No, the believer is not supposed to be like that. The believer, even at that time, he's careful, he's aware, he remembers what his taklif is, and he moves forward. Let me give you the thing. The thing is that just as you remember in the past, this is because it's important during the time of fitna, there were people in the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, who used the Qur'an, put the Qur'an on a spear to fight the Qur'an, which was natiq. Right? That happened in history. We Shias know this. There are some who will claim to be practicing the teachings of the Qur'an. The Khawarij were quoting ayat of the Qur'an. In al-hukm illa lillah, ayat of Qur'an, in order to fight the Qur'an. Ayat of Qur'an in order to fight the Qur'an. There are some who will use their emotions, your emotions, my emotions, to fight the path of Quran and Sunnah. Every display of emotion doesn't shake us. Every display of emotion doesn't make us change our position. We lose the way. What's happening? In the Quran, there are four types of crying, bukha, tears. In the Quran, there's four types that are mentioned. Every type of crying doesn't shake us. There are four types which are mentioned in the Holy Quran. There are some tears which are tears of joy mentioned in the Quran. Let me quote you the verse. It's Surah number 5, verse number 83. He's talking about a group of the people of the book that when they hear the truth of Islam, tears of joy flow from their eyes. Tears of joy. وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ. These individuals, when they hear what's been revealed to the Prophet, that truth of Islam, that message of the fitrah, these individuals, you'll see the tears flow down from their eyes. We remember
that the reason that the grounds have not been prepared for the return of the Imam is that the message, that true message of the Ahlul Bayt, has not gotten out there to the masses. There are a lot of good people out there. They don't know. And how are we supposed to invite these people? With our actions. When these people see those good actions and then you explain those teachings of Quran and Sunnah, for some of these individuals, good individuals, tears may flow from their eyes because of that truth that they recognize. So there are some tears which are tears of joy. There's other tears. There's some people who love to give so much in the way of Allah and the way of Islam. Mention the Holy Quran. I'm going to quote you the verse. When they don't find the opportunity to give, they cry. There's some people have to be pushed to give in the way of Allah. Brother, please come help. It's the cause. It's important. Oh, I don't have time. There's some people who want to give so much in the way of Hussein, looking for opportunities. Is there something I can do for Islam? Is there a way I can make a contribution? Tell me how I can assist the cause. What can I do? What does Islam need from me now? Allah has given me everything that I have in this world. What do you need? What can I do? They're looking for an opportunity to serve. If they don't find that opportunity, they cry. Tears of regret, the second type of tears. It's in Surah number 9, verse number 92. وَتَوَلَّوْا وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيذُ مِنَ الدَّمْ حَزَنًا أَلَّا يَجِدُوا مَا يُنْفِقُونَ. They turn back, these individuals, their eyes flowing with tears, grieved, حَزَنًا. Why? Because they did not find any means to spend. They wanted to spend in the way of Allah. Allah didn't give me that tawfiq. My heart's there. I want to do. I want to give. I want to sacrifice. I don't have that means. Tears of regret. There are also tears of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one that we need to beg Allah for, that Allah give us the tawfiq to really cry out of fear of Him. Even one tear in the middle of the night, only because of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what would that do for us? These tears that Allah gives us the tawfiq to shed during the majalis of Muharram, we don't want to take that lightly. Some of our ulama, when it came to the last part of their days, they would, on their deathbed, worried, now I have to go back to meet my maker. The people around them, but you've done so much good in the way of Allah. You've done this, you've done that, written books, speeches, this and that. He says, no, I don't know about those things. He said, there's one thing that I'm sure about. Inshallah, Allah will accept that one thing. Those tears that I shed for Imam al-Hussein. Those tears, inshallah, Allah will accept. I have a lot of weaknesses, a lot of problems. But the tears that I shed in the majalis of Imam al-Hussein, that's tawfiq from Allah. So there's some tears of fear. It's in Surah 19 and verse number 58. But it's a recommended sajda, so I'm not going to recite the ayah. There are other fake tears. Crocodile tears. Tears that don't fool the believer. Tears that the believer is not impressed by. This one's really important for those who want to serve Islam in a time of fitna. When there are more than one side pretending and claiming to be calling you to the truth. Everybody's saying hadith. Everybody's saying ayat. Now what do I do at that stage? One of the things the mu'min who's kayyis has to do is not be fooled by tears. Inshallah, they're good tears. But you know there's a Quranic possibility that there are some tears which are not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These brothers came back to their father. They were crying. But those weren't tears of fear of Allah. They were fake tears to fool someone. Now let me give you one of these scary hadith. Put this hadith in the back of your mind for later when you're dealing with times of fitna. Okay? Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The thing is that we're trying to prepare the grounds for the return of the Imam. We're begging Allah for the opportunity to do jihad with the Imam of our time. If the Imam returns, jihad, it's on. It's on. We're begging for that opportunity. asking Allah, calling out for that opportunity. Allah doesn't give that easily. We have to become deserving. We have to become those elite soldiers of the Imam. And there's hadith about jihad. They say, innal jihad babun min abwabil jannah.
That jihad that you're asking for with the Imam of your time, that jihad is a jihad which is a door, a gate from the doors of paradise. Allah doesn't open that gate illa li khassati awliya'ih. He doesn't open that gate except for his special awliya. So if you want the Imam to return, you want to fight alongside your Imam, you're asking Allah for a lofty position. So we have to be prepared, even in times of fitna, to be able to follow those instructions of Ahlul Bayt, not to be fooled by every type of tear. So now let me tell you the tears, the fake tears which we've mentioned. This hadith is from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what he says. Man amila fi bid'ah. Whoever is a person who is someone who is doing acts of bid'ah. Bid'ah in the religion. Innovation in the religion. Innovation in the religion. Just keep this in mind. Later it will become useful. Khallahu shaytan wal ibadah. Shaytan lets this person who is ahlul bid'ah, he leaves them with worship. This person who's Ahlul Bidah, you and I will struggle to make Salatul Layl, struggle perhaps to perform our wajibat, struggle to perform acts of ibadah. But if you do bid'ah, shaitan makes it easy. He lets you perform. You'll find people who are doing acts of bid'ah and they are worshiping at night. Worshiping, praying, fasting. Be surprised. Shaitan, khallahu shaitan wal ibadah. Shaitan leaves him alone. Bismillah, do as many ibadah as you want. Believers don't want to be fooled by that. In addition, وَأَلْقَى عَلَيْهِ الْخُشُوعَ وَالْبُكَاءَ. Another one of the things shaitan does is inspire this individual to have khushu, be humble, buka, crying, tears. But you're a bad guy, but you're doing the wrong things, but you're opposing maraja, you're opposing taqlid. Tears like you wouldn't believe. Be shocked. Shaitan lets the people do that. So for believers, they don't want to be fooled by that. Last point, again, we want to make this practical for ourselves. Those brothers with the Imam of with Hazrat Yaqub committed a major sin. They kidnapped a prophet, the son of a prophet. They kidnapped the son of Abraham. They betrayed the trust of their father. They lied in this verse and said that a wolf had eaten their brother. And lying is a major sin. A major sin. There are some sins which are minor. There's some sins for which we've been promised hellfire. Lying is one of the sins for which the person becomes deserving of the la'an of Allah. God forbid somebody has a habit of lying. A practicing believer, but they're not careful with their tongue. Pressure comes on, I start to lie. God forbid. There are hadith. They're from Ahlul Bayt. They're not from me. But they tell us how ugly this sin of lying is. Before I explain that hadith to you, though, they asked the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. يَكُونُ الْمُؤْمِنْ جَبَانًا. Is it possible that the mu'min be a coward? The Prophet said, nah. They said, وَيَكُونُ بَخِيلًا. Is it possible that the mu'min be bakhil, be stingy with his money? قَالَ نَعَمْ. Yes, it's possible. وَيَكُونُ كَذَّابًا. Is it possible that the believer be a great liar? كَذَّابًا. لَا. The believer is not supposed to lie. The believer might have problems, but the believer is not supposed to lie. That hadith, it's a little bit heavy, but this is words of Ahlul Bayt. We want to escape this sin if we want to prepare the return of the Imam. This is the hadith. Al-mu'min, إِذَا كَذَبَ بِغَيْرِ عُذْرٍ.
If a believer lies without an excuse, there are a few exceptions to the rule about lying. There are sometimes when Shadan, you're supposed to lie. You're supposed to lie. There are some exceptions. But the general rule is that the believer is not supposed to lie. When a believer lies without an excuse, what happens? La'anahu sab'una alf malak. 70,000 angels curse the believer. وَخَرَجَ مِنْ قَلْبِهِ نَتْنٌ. The stench comes out of the believer. حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ الْعَرْشِ. The stench comes out of the believer and rises up to the arsh and the throne of God. That stench comes out of the believer who's lying. فَيَلْعَنُهُ حَمَلَةُ الْعَرْشِ. The bearers of the throne curse this mu'min who's lied for no reason. وَكَتَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بِتِلْكَ الْكَذِبَةِ 70 زَنْيَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes for the believer who's lied without an excuse 70 zina. And the hadith says, أَهْوَنُهَا. The lightest of those zina is كَمَنْ يَزْنِي مَا أُمِّهِ. Like the person who committed zina with their own mother. Lying is a terrible sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like to see lying. That a practicing believer, I'm doing other things, but I have a problem in lying? No. Not if I want to have the imam return. Not if I want to serve the cause. Not if I want to be one of those special elite soldiers of my imam. I have to make sure that I rid myself of that terrible sin of lying. One of the things that we should know about lying, Allama Tabatabai explains this. He says, lies unravel. Lies are not one with the system of the universe, and lies unravel. When I lie, I'm not able to take care of every part of the story. Remember in the story of Hazrat Yusuf, we just said what to our father? We told our father, we want to take him to play with us. Right? Take Yusuf to play with us. Now, that one of the things that Allah does, one of the ways Allah gives victory over liars is He makes them forgetful. Liars are forgetful. Hadith. They come back to their father, they say, we left Yusuf with our stuff. We were supposed to be taking him to play. We were playing, we were competing. Liars are exposed. Many times in the dunya. And that's terrible. It's terrible. We've come now to the end of our time. And tonight is the night of the farewell of the imam. One of the most touching points of the entire masa'ib. Where the imam bids farewell to his family. Where the imam calls out for help. Hal min nasir yansuruni. Is there anyone to assist me? And we hope that the imam who's looking at our session, that he sees that we are answering that call. We're ready. We're answering that call. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.